In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. We got some amazingly wonderful news this week, and that is choirs are now permitted back in worship services in the Diocese of Toronto. We don't have a choir today. We have a choir, of course, pre-recorded, but we don't have a choir present with us today. But we are looking at ways in which we can reincorporate our choristers back into our worship. And the Health and Safety Committee is meeting tomorrow to discuss this with Robin and all that. But it's wonderful news that choirs are allowed to be back in our worship. Unfortunately, at this moment, congregational singing is still not permitted, but that in due course will come. The other thing that is been also permitted is people speaking at pulpits or lecterns can remove their mask. I am not going to do that today. I'm going to wait until we have our Health and Safety Committee meeting, and then we'll review that policy as well. But it is wonderful news. What is it you want me to do? They answered, grant us to sit one at your right hand and the other at your left. And Jesus said, you don't understand what you are asking. In that brief exchange, two things happened. The fellowship of the disciples was seriously threatened, and Jesus gave a teaching that is basic to the whole of the Christian life. If he had not acted quickly on this exchange by James and John, Jesus would risk the rupture of the whole group. For they had interjected once again. This wasn't the first time. They wanted their very extra special place. Who should be the leader? Who should be the first? It was a living rivalry that existed in this group. And you know, it probably existed out on the Lake of Galilee in their fishing careers as well. But this time it was different because they had been shown a different way to function by the rabbi from Galilee, who called them away from their nets and away from their old life to a new kind of life. They also, quite frankly, had a clear idea that their friend Peter had the primacy. In St. Mark's Gospel, they had just been to Caesarea Philippi, and that's where Peter makes his great confession of faith. That's where Jesus said, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church. And it's in Mark's Gospel, only one chapter later, that James and John seemed to have forgotten that very special day. Now they are back at it again about power and about place. Each of the disciples seemed to have claim to a certain bit of leadership, simply because of the qualities that called Jesus to call them in the first place. But whenever they got into this discussion, they seemed to forget the example of their Lord. That resulted in hurt feelings and the real potential for the group to come apart, to break up. That is as common now as it was then. We can see the potential destruction of this kind of attitude in any group we care to name, both inside and outside the church. The second thing Jesus did was to catch this argument right at the beginning and draw the focus of the disciples to something that could never be changed, the basic principle at the heart of faith. Whoever wants to be first must be the last and must be the slave of all. You see, the test of discipleship will always be, what service can I give? Not what service can I get from others, not what benefits I will get. What service can I give? Greatness, we see, consists in serving others, not in being served oneself. Some of you may remember the British sitcom, Are You Being Served? It was really quite silly, but somewhat amusing at times. Set in London, the show followed the misadventures and mishaps of the staff in the retail ladies' and gentlemen's clothing departments in the flagship store of a fictional chain called Grace Brothers. The slapstick humor of it was the very lack of service and the mishaps that took place, leaving customers bewildered and angry. We're not happy till you're not happy. Well, that's really not the greatest motto for any organization. In the kingdoms of this world, the standard of greatness was then and probably still is power. The test is how many people do you control? How many people do you have in reporting to you? How much power have you got? Who sits at the big desk, either in your company or in the organization you belong to? The answer to that often defines one's position in the organization and often in the community. In that same silly show, I remember the episode when Mrs. Slocum gets to be president for a day. You may remember that. She finds herself sitting at Mr. Grace's big wooden desk, not knowing what on earth to do. And so what did she do? She ate chocolates all day to the point of getting sick. Heavy lies the head that wears the crown. We must always be careful what we ask for. In his example and in the Gospels, the standard Jesus puts before us is service to others. And in serving them, we actually serve him. So it may just be that if we want to lead in anything, we must lead in service to others. Not given self-consciously for power or for acknowledgement, but because you and I care about other people, their well-being, their good, their wholeness as children of God. And Jesus could not express this in a passive voice, to be served. He had to express it in the active voice, to serve. One goal of the Christian life, and probably more than a goal, but one of the highest achievements we can gain, is to get from the passive voice to the active voice. We all begin, of course, in the passive voice. When we are babies, we are served. We are acted upon. We do not and cannot do it for ourselves. We are fed, we are clothed and changed and cared for by others. But part of growing up is to gradually to be able to do things for ourselves and then to develop to do things for others. My parents taught me, as I'm sure yours taught you, to help my little brother get into his mitts and his hats, and in the case of my little brother, to keep a close eye on him so he would not run off or go up the antenna onto the roof, pretending he was Superman and could jump off and fly. Yes, that actually did happen. We are loved before we can love. That, too, is the test of how quickly a child has grown up and matured. We are served in so many ways before we can serve ourselves. For most of us, our baptism happened when we were tiny babies, babies who the Lord claims as his own. But we could not enter that life of faith without our parents and godparents speaking on our behalf and making a commitment to raise us in the Christian life. It is only as we grow that we come to understand and appreciate the gift that was given on our behalf by others. Our maturity comes when we can first begin to move to the active voice, to do for ourselves, and then to do for others. The aim of the great ones whom Jesus repudiated in this passage was to keep themselves in the passive voice, to be waited on, to be ministered unto, to sit on thrones and watch others fetch and carry, to be forever on the receiving end and never on the giving end. That is surely the quickest way to miss life and all the wonderful possibilities that come our way. Now, I cannot tell you how you can best be of service to God, or to your families, or to your friends, to your communities. Each of us must come to that answer in our own context. But I can say, as a parish church, we need to look again at this call to service, which means I think we must begin a time of discernment about our place in this community and what it means to be the body of Christ here and now. Last week, there was a very generous amount of food that people brought to our church for the St. Bartholomew's Food Bank. Thank you all very much for those generous donations. I took it all down to St. Bart's on Thursday, where they have a room and a host of volunteers dedicated to this ministry. Also, at the same time, their weekday after-school program for local kids was in full swing, and that is an extraordinary ministry in that community. What would it look like if we had something similar here? Yes, we do have a homework club, which I hope will be up and running again in January. But what about a food ministry of some kind? And to that end, I am asking that we form a working group to look at what parishes around us are doing, and then to consider what we might do and make a proposal to the wardens and to me. And if you are interested in being part of this, please do let me know. I would simply like to conclude by putting this into a wider context, which may in fact help us to cast our eyes upon the broad horizons of service to which you and I are called as followers of Jesus Christ. And this is through the very simple but much loved prayer of St. Francis of Assisi, whose feast we celebrated a few weeks ago. Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. Where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive, it is in pardoning that we are pardoned, and it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen.